7, and I'll just read verse number 11, actually, I'll read, and we'll get into the lesson this evening and look at all of these verses. It says in verse number 11 of 2 Kings chapter number 2, "And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked," speaking of Elijah and Elisha, "that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." The title is the last phrase of verse number 11, if you're taking notes this evening. Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. As we consider the life of Elijah, obviously over the past several months, we have traced the steps of Elijah. And during our study, we've had the opportunity to learn many things about this prophet of God. And we understand that now as we come to 2 Kings chapter 2, as I've already read there in verse number 11 too, that we come to the end of his life as far as his ministry here upon this earth. Elijah faithfully served the Lord during a very wicked time in Israel's history. You'll remember how that it was Ahab that was the king of Israel when Elijah first appears on the scene. And when you consider the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel, and you'd understand this evening that throughout the entirety of Elijah's ministry, he had just wicked kings that he was, during his term of being a prophet, during his life and ministry, just wicked kings that ruled over Israel. There are some prophets of God that we read of throughout the history of Israel and Judah, obviously Judah in particular, where they had periods of time where they had good kings, where they had revival that took place during the ministry. But during the ministry of Elijah, we find that Ahab, and then as we looked last a couple of Wednesdays as we studied the life of Elijah, looking at his interactions with King Ahaziah, we've noticed the wickedness and all that was taking place during his ministry. I'm thankful for a man that was willing to stand for God in light of all of those circumstances. Amen? And the reality is that today we need to have the children of God, the people of God, we need to have the same kind of faith and obedience that Elijah had to the Lord God of heaven in our own lives, and ask God to use us to make a difference in our society. I believe that God still wants to work. Listen, theologically, biblically, if God was done with his program, we'd be in heaven. Okay? So we're not in heaven. Amen? This is not heaven. We are not in heaven, and therefore we know that God is not done with us. Amen? And so he has a plan, he has a purpose, and we understand this evening that throughout all of the history of mankind, and as we can trace the events that are recorded in the Word of God, that we find that God works miraculously through his people. And it's important for us to understand that it's not necessarily in Elijah or Elisha or name any of the other men of God or women of God that have gone before us, but it is God in them, God working through them. And our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still on his throne, and he's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so this evening, as we come to the last portion of Scripture here in the book of 2 Kings, dealing with the translation of Elijah, I hope that we could summarize some things and hope that we could be helped this evening. If you're taking notes, number one, I want you to just notice this. The Lord led Elijah. Of course, as we would consider the entirety of the life of Elijah, we'll look at verses 1 through 6 in our text of Scripture this evening, and we'll note that here, even on the last day of his life on earth, the Lord was leading him. And this is a recurring theme in the life of Elijah. We see it culminate here in 2 Kings chapter number 2 in verses 1 through 6. But I'm thankful that from the very start of the ministry of Elijah, you find that God was leading Elijah. God led him. And how important it is for us to know of God's leadership in our lives, and how important it is. Jesus said, "Follow me," right? And we find that throughout the gospel records that there's multiple examples and ideas in which or times in which the Lord said, "Follow me." And we find that he has left us an example, as Peter said, that we would follow his steps, and as we would consider the leadership of God, we sing the song, "Where he leads, I will follow." and anywhere, right? Everywhere. And I will follow on. And what wonderful verses or songs that those are that we sing. But the reality is that when we know that God's leading us, it gives us a certain level of courage and confidence. Amen? Because we know that we're in the place of God. We know that we're where God wants us to be. You remember when Abraham sent his servant to go get a wife for a son? And he prayed a very specific prayer, did he not? I mean, he was very detailed in his prayer. And when God answered the prayer as specific as he requested is how God answered, man, he had confidence when he got to the house, did he not? He had confidence in sharing, this is the will of God. When we lead, when God leads, we need to follow, and we find that the Lord has been faithful to provide His servant Elijah with direction, but we also understand that Elijah has been obedient to the leadership of God. And it's important that we understand both sides of that coin. God is faithful to give the direction, and we need to be faithful to follow. We need to be obedient to follow what God gives us, the direction. Notice in verse number 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So we know in verse number 1 that that's the starting point of where they are. There is some theological debate as to which Gilgal this is. It seems very interesting to me. I believe personally it's the same Gilgal as what Joshua came to after they crossed the Jordan. And I believe that for a good reason. I'll share some of that as we get into it. But we look at the starting point of where they are on this journey that takes place over this particular day in these first 6 verses. Notice it says in verse number 2, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. Notice this, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Who was leading? God, the Lord. So he was going to travel south to Bethel, according to verse number 2. He tells Elisha to tarry there. Notice the response of Elisha. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Notice verse number 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. In verse number 4, there's more direction that is provided. The Lord is leading Elijah once again. It says in verse number 4 that Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord hath sent me where? To Jericho. So now he would go from Gilgal south to Bethel, and now he would travel a little further southeast to go over to Jericho, according to verse number 4. Elisha responds in like manner as to how he did in verse number 2. He says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they, both Elijah and Elisha, came to Jericho. In verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, he had received the same message at Bethel, right? And here's what they say, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. There'd be one final leg stretch of the journey, if you will. In verse number 6, Elijah said unto him, to Elisha, he says, tarry, I pray thee, here. So now he's going to leave them there in Jericho, or at least tell him to stay there in Jericho. And he tells them, the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And now they'd go eastward to Jordan. And we find that Elisha answers in like manner. He says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. In those 6 verses, we find that they go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and eventually over to Jordan. The journey that takes place, and we find throughout those verses of Scripture, I believe really 2 important thoughts. The first is we're looking at the life of Elijah is the fact that God was continuing to provide leadership and that Elijah was continuing to obey the Lord. The obedience of Elijah to the voice of God. He knew that God was leading him and he was following where the Lord was leading him to go. And we find that the other observation that you can make from the text of Scripture is the determination of Elisha to stay with Elijah. See, you remember, and we'll transition over the next couple of weeks into the life, the study of the life of Elisha, but you'll remember from our study that back in 1 Kings chapter 19, when God told Elijah, I'm not done with you. Remember, Elijah's ready to die, and God says, I'm not done with you, Elijah. Here's some things that you still need to do, and one of those things was to anoint Elisha to be the next prophet. And we find that there in 1 Kings 19, the word of God provides for us the record of that encounter between Elijah and Elisha. There's not much recorded for us from that point until now with regard to Elijah and Elisha being together, but now we find that Elisha is there with Elijah, according to verse number 1, and Elisha, he's not interested in leaving. He's not interested in tarrying. He's not interested in staying at Gilgal or at Bethel or at Jericho. No, if the Lord's leading you, I'm coming with you. See, the reality was that both Elijah and Elisha were aware of the fact that Elijah was going to be translated on this particular day. The Bible says in verse number 1, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. When those sons of the prophets in each of their destinations where they went to, when they said to Elisha, don't you know that today the Lord is going to take away your master? Elisha's response is, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. And Elisha had some determination and some commitment to go and to be where Elijah was and to journey with Elijah from one location to the next. And so we see, number one this evening, that the Lord led Elijah. Number two, the Lord used Elijah. Again, this is a recurring theme in the life of Elijah, is it not? God led him. We find that starting in 1 Kings 17, and we find the leadership of God throughout the life of Elijah, but we also see that God used Elijah. In each of those cases, as you study the life of Elijah, you see how God is using a man and how God is using his servant. Notice with me that after they depart from, in verse number 6, they are going to leave from Jericho to go to Jordan. It says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he, Elisha, says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. But notice this interesting statement that is given to us in verse number 7. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. So Elijah and Elisha come to the Jordan River. And as they come to the Jordan River, the Bible tells us that 50 of those sons of the prophets that were there in Jericho, they come, and it says that they stood to view afar off. Now, it's interesting when you understand what's going to get ready to happen here and how the Lord used Elijah. We notice that it's Elijah and Elisha there at the Jordan River, but we also notice that there's some observers. There are 50 men that are watching. They're interested in understanding what's going to happen. They're observing from a distance, and the Bible tells us that they stood by Jordan. In verse number 7, Elijah and Elisha, those 50 men are viewing from afar off, and notice what Elijah does, and notice how God uses Elijah. This would be, if you will, the final miracle of Elijah's ministry before he would be translated, and we find that the Bible says that Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Isn't that exciting? We find that they're there at the brink of the river at the Jordan, and he takes and he wraps up that mantle, as it says, he wrapped it together and he smote the waters. Now, Elijah and Elisha are there. They see the power of God to part the Jordan, but those 50 sons of the prophets, they see it as well. They see the power of God. See, God uses His people, but He doesn't use us so that we would be glorified. He uses us so that He would be glorified. He uses us so that He would be the one that would receive the honor and the glory that is due unto His name. It was not in the power of Elijah to part that river. It was God working and God using Elijah. Now, it's interesting as we look at what happens that the Bible tells us that they too, meaning Elijah and Elisha, went over on dry ground. Nearly 500 years earlier, God was leading another group of people. It's interesting if you were to think about the geography of Israel. As I mentioned, they were in Gilgal. That's to the western side of Jordan. And they traveled south down to Bethel. And then they traveled southeast down to Jericho. And then they took an easterly route to Jordan. And now they're at the Jordan River. That's how God led Elijah on this particular journey. But it was the children of Israel led by God. The man that God was using was Joshua nearly 500 years earlier. And when God would use Joshua nearly 500 years earlier, God tells Joshua to prepare. They were going to go and they were going to cross. But it's interesting, they're on the east side of the Jordan River. And they're coming over to the west. They're gonna Elijah, if we pretend this is the Jordan River, he's over here on the western side, and he's going to part and go over to the eastern side. But the children of Israel, nearly 500 years earlier, they're over on the eastern side, and God's gonna bring them into the promised land, the land of promise. Remember what happened nearly 500 years earlier? The Jordan was at the time when it would swell, right? And it was flood stage, and it was kind of a nasty situation. I mean, not only would the river be overflowing its banks, but we find that much of the area surrounding the river would be murky and muddy, and it would just be kind of an unpleasant type of a route to take. But God had provided for them, and as they came, and of course, different than the parting of the Red Sea, God told them that as they came, they would have to take that step of faith, and as they touched the waters, what would happen? It would part, right? And as they walked over, we find that God parted the Jordan, and all of the children of Israel entered into the land of promise on dry ground. There were two memorials that were set up. You can go back into the book of Joshua, chapter number 5, and read about this. But if you look at the two memorials that were set up, there was one that was in the midst of Jordan, right? Right in the middle of Jordan, he told them to go and take those 12 stones and set up a memorial in the midst of Jordan. But there was a second memorial. Where was it? It was at Gilgal. That's where the second memorial, that's where they camped the first night after they crossed over Jordan. They camped at Gilgal. And that's where God told them to put that memorial. So nearly 500 years earlier, the children of Israel enter into the land of promise. They cross over the Jordan. They go to Gilgal. They set up the memorial. Of course, they were going to have the Passover, and they were going to deal with the circumcision and all they were going to deal with before they would go and conquer central Canaan and so on and so forth. And God would then give them the entirety of the land. But we notice here that God's power is once again on display in verse number 8 in the life of Elijah when he takes that mantle, Elisha standing next to him, the 50 prophets viewing from afar, and God parts that river and they cross over on dry ground. According to the remainder of the passage of Scripture, we won't get that far this evening, but we'd understand that after they crossed over the Jordan, that the Jordan flowed once again. How do we know that? Because when Elisha's going to come back, the path isn't there, right? Amen? We'll deal with that as we get into the life of Elisha, but it didn't stay parted. Parted, they crossed over, and then it went to flowing once again. But we notice here in the text of Scripture how God would use His servant Elijah, and how that this would not only serve as being having an impact in the lives of those 50 men that observed from afar off, but I think about the impact in the life of Elisha. Amen? He's walking with them, and he sees it. And we, no doubt, would encourage Elisha, and as they go, and as the Lord would use Elijah, we see that the Jordan was parted. But then notice in verses 9 and 10, it says, "And it came to pass when they," Elijah and Elisha, "were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha," ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elijah knew. Remember, I mentioned that already. They were aware of what was taking place in this particular day. He says, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he, Elijah, said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Don't you think Elisha's happy he didn't tarry back at Gilgal? Right? Or at Bethel, when he told him to stay at Bethel, or at Jericho, he told him to stay at Jericho. I'm thinking that Elisha's pretty glad that he took this journey. And he gets to see God work. He gets to see God use Elijah, the one that was serving before him. And now we find that there's this conversation that takes place, a brief conversation by what we can tell from the Scriptures. And then it says in verse number 11, it starts this way, and it came to pass. We see that phrase often in this text of Scripture, it came to pass, used several times, and we find that not only in our text of Scripture do we make the observation that the Lord led Elijah, the Lord used Elijah, but then we see that the Lord took Elijah. The Bible tells us that Elijah and Elisha, as we've mentioned multiple times already, they knew it was coming, and it says that as they still went on and talked. Sometimes when you read something like that, you wish you could know what they were talking about. You read sometimes in the gospel accounts where Jesus was teaching, but it doesn't give us exactly the full message he was teaching and how he spoke and the words. And sometimes the record is given of the message, but at other times it just tells us that he was speaking and he was teaching. And here we find that the Bible tells us that they talked. And then notice it says that as they were going and as they were talking, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Isn't that amazing? I mean, listen, as much as they knew what was going to happen on that day, Elisha had told at each stop along the way, he had told those that said to him, don't you know that today the Lord's going to take your master away from you? He says, yea, I know it, hold ye your peace. But yet when the moment came and the Lord took Elijah, this miraculous translation must have been phenomenal to witness. Could you imagine? I mean, you're walking along, and as you're walking, I mean, you're having a conversation, right? And then you see that there appears a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and it parts you asunder, and then Elijah's gone up in a whirlwind into heaven. That's amazing. There are two people that have been translated, Enoch. The Bible says that he walked with God. He was not, for God took him. Can you imagine? I mean, it'd kind of be like, well, what happened to Enoch? See, Elisha was there, so he knew what happened to Elijah. You know, it reminds us, obviously, a picture, if you will, of the rapture and the fact that one day the trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. Amen? And it could just be that when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, you might be in a conversation with somebody, and then, bam, you're gone. Wouldn't that be kind of interesting? Honestly. They had, I think it was back in the 70s, as early as back in the 70s, they had regulations with the FAA about pilots and co-pilots. If they were both professing Christians, they couldn't fly the same planes. There was so much preaching about the rapture of the church. There was a lot of preaching in the 60s and 70s about the rapture. Not quite as much preaching about it today, but I'm telling you, it's closer now than it was then, amen? Because with every day that we live, we're a day closer to it coming. And the reality is that the picture is there. Genesis 5 tells us about the translation of Enoch. It's mentioned over to Hebrews chapter 11, how that he had that testimony that he pleased God. And here Elijah is translated into heaven. And it's interesting as I think about the life of Elijah as we'd sum it up in this passage of Scripture. And we talk about the Lord led him, the Lord used him, and the Lord took him. Now, we see that in just these 11 verses, but really that's the story of his life, right? The Lord led him. The Lord used him. And the Lord would take him somewhere else, lead him somewhere else, right? Now he's taking him to heaven, but I want you to think about the life of Elijah and turn over to Psalm 73. We're going to close with this passage this evening. And I think about the testimony of the psalmist here. This psalm is ascribed to Asaph. And as I think about Psalm 73 and I think about how he concludes the psalm, and I think about the life of Elijah, what a wonderful example of what is said here in the Psalms with regard to the life of Elijah and really that example. And for us, that this would be our testimony. In Psalm 73, beginning in verse number 23, notice it says this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Isn't that good? And as he leads us, as he guides us, we know that he's going to use us for his honor and for his glory. There are times in which, something interesting, my pastor used to tell me this when I was in Pennsylvania. He said, sometimes God will lead you right into the problems of other people's lives so that he can use you, so that God can be real in their lives, so that they can see God, and so that God can work, and you just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in a place where you say, why am I here? I mean, it's a difficulty. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on, and you're thinking, why am I here? The reason you're there is to open your mouth and tell them about Jesus, because he has all the answers, right? He's the one that can do something about the problems. We made a visit, Julianne and I actually made a visit just this past Saturday, and we stood there and we're having this conversation, and Julianne and I are standing there, and man, the person just starts crying and says, "It's so weird that you're here. I've been praying all day. I just got a mess." And we're just kind of standing there, we're kind of looking at each other like, okay. But God leads us, and God uses us, and eventually, God's going to take us to heaven. Amen? I don't know when, but he is. It's not a wishful thinking kind of a thing. It's a certainty, amen, that we're going to, if you've been born again, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're going to go to heaven when you die. He says in verse number 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Verse 28 is a powerful verse of Scripture. It is good for us to draw near to God. In fact, James says, "Draw nigh unto God." It says, "I have put my trust in the Lord God." We need to put our trust in Him. Listen, He's trustworthy, amen? He's faithful. He's never failed. He's never going to fail. He says, "that I may declare all thy works." You know, it's a privilege to declare the works of God. It really is. It's a privilege that God would allow us to know and then in turn use us to tell someone else. So as we look at the life of Elijah, we come to his translation here in 2 Kings chapter number 2. We see that the Lord led him, the Lord used him, and the Lord took him. I hope this evening that we could say God's leading us. And as we follow God, that he's using us. Using us for his purpose, for his honor, for his glory, that he might be made known. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about the Lord. Amen? And then one day he's going to take us. I don't know how he's going to take us individually. Take us through death. Take us all together through the rapture. Be okay with me. Amen? Amen. But the reality is that what a great synopsis of the life of Elijah. He was led by God. He was used by God. And then God took him. And oh, that we'd have that testimony. God's leading us. Where he leads, I will follow. Why? Because I want to be used of him. I want God to be glorified in my life. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Lord, we think of your word and the truth that's contained therein and how thankful we are for the testimonies of those that have gone before us. We think of a life of Elijah, but God, we know that it's not anything in Elijah specifically. It's God, you working in him. I thank you that you use human beings. I'm thankful that he was obedient and faithful, and Lord, that he was used of thee. And I pray that you would lead us, that in our lives we would know that you've led us and that we would follow thee. I pray, God, that you'd use us. We know one day we shall see you face to face. What a wonderful, wonderful day that will be. God, until then, I pray that you'd help us to be faithfully following thee, that you would use us greatly, Lord, not for our name's sake, but for thy name's sake. I pray that you bless our time of prayer, that you alone would be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.